I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a former midwife who left the system, and I'm now the proud founder of Sacred Birth International, a woman-owned company with a mission to revolutionize the birth world and bring focus to the sacred and the natural intelligence of the birth process. We do this by providing world-class education, courses, programs, and coaching to equip women with the knowledge and the tools to have conscious pregnancies, empowering and positive birth experiences, and the most nourishing start possible for themselves and their babies postpartum. We also educate and mentor aspiring birth workers into sacred space holders and physiological birth advocates in the Sacred Birth Worker Mentorship, the Beyond a Doula Training. If you'd like to work with me or take any of our courses, programs, or the mentorship, then head on over to sacredbirthinternational.com to find out more. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Denise. Denise is a mama of one from Arizona, USA. She's a stay-at-home mom and an Airbnb host. After watching The Business of Being Born by Ricky Lake, her now husband told her, even before they were married or even thinking of having babies, that when they do, they should have a home birth. And Denise became fascinated by pregnancy and birth by listening to the Natural Birth Podcast, which led her to make the decision to birth at home with the support of her husband, doula, and midwife. Denise ended up having a beautiful home birth. However, her placenta wasn't coming out. And by the third hour, she and her birth team made the decision to transfer to hospital. She was feeling fine and there were no emergency, but they decided they wanted the help to birth the placenta. Because of the preparation and education Denise had done, she could stand up to the OB and be empowered in her decision-making in the hospital and felt empowered about her birth, even though it didn't unfold exactly as she'd hoped. A natural birth doesn't always mean an empowered birth. And a medicalized birth doesn't mean it's traumatic. It's about feeling empowered and in charge of the decisions about your body, baby, and birth. And only education as well as the inner work can truly prepare you for the unknown that is birth. Something that Denise highly recommends to all first-time mamas. Curious about Denise? Find her on Instagram as DeRosaNise. Hi, Denise, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on and sharing your story. So today we're going to dive straight on in. You became pregnant, and did you know from the get-go that you wanted to have a home birth?
I would say we knew from the beginning that we weren't going to have a hospital birth. Me and my husband, before we got married, you know, we were talking about kids, and he had mentioned that we're going to have a home birth. And I kind of just brushed it off because I didn't feel passionate about it, but I also didn't, I was kind of indifferent to the topic. So, but it was always on my mind, you know, that he had mentioned that we were going to have a home birth. And after we got married is when I started to research now, like, you know, what is it to birth and what are my options? Because I like to be very prepared. And I just knew we weren't doing hospital. I remember going on Spotify and typing in natural birth, and then your podcast, you know, popped up. I started listening to some episodes, and then that's when I kind of heard, okay, I can birth in a birth center. I could do home possibly. And we decided to try out the birth center. So we went to a couple, we toured them, and they were nice, but I didn't really like the idea of having multiple midwives and not knowing who was going to show up. So we decided to do home birth. And it felt a little scary in the beginning because, you know, to have your first and do home, and it's not really something that, you know, is done in your family. But yeah, we made the right choice with that.
I love that. So I love that it was your husband who was like, mm-hmm. gonna have a home birth. So I want to hear the story behind yeah. that. Was he born at home? Was he his family, no. his mom? Like how, why? Like how, that's very rare, like that it comes from the men. It so is. I'm very curious about his story. Do you want to share it with us?
Yes. So I believe he's mentioned that he watched that movie, something about the hospital with the business of being born.
Yeah, business of being yes. born. Yeah.
That yes. is and I still have not watched it.
Oh, good. I think it's great for maybe maidens to watch who are not planning to be mm-hmm. pregnant right now, and like for the partners to watch. Or if a woman is considering a hospital birth, I do think you should watch Business of Being Born so that you mm-hmm. know what you're okay. navigating, right? But if you're planning a home birth or a birth center birth, just stay clear.
You don't need to scare yourself.
I mean, that is old. It's an old documentary now by Ricky Lake. I mean, she has a new one now about mm-hmm. the business of birth control, right? Okay. So, I mean, I don't know if it's like 10, 15 years old, that documentary, but it's still really valid. And it's actually worse yeah. than it was back then. So, like,
I'm sure the numbers are yeah. very different.
I love that he watched that. Very rare, too, that a mm-hmm. man would watch that just randomly. Being interested in yeah. birth. I love that though. I think men should be interested yeah. in birth and the birth of the new, you know, generation as mm-hmm. well, right?
Yeah. And I'm thankful that he did watch it, because who knows, like, had he not, maybe I would have just, you know, done what the typical thing is, you know, not really question it and do the hospital. So that, yeah, that got me thinking a lot.
And for anyone who's listening to this who is planning a hospital birth, or your husband or partner is really adamant you should have a hospital birth, they're, you know, one of the beautiful sponsors of the Natural Birth Podcast is Informed Pregnancy TV, and you can get three mm-hmm. free days where you can watch The Business of Being Born. So get a free trial,
oh, awesome.
Put your partner on it and watch yeah. it, you know. And it's also Orgasmic Birth is in there, so you can watch The Business of Being Born and then you can watch Orgasmic Birth
yeah.
and maybe it's gonna be like, oh yeah, we're gonna have a home birth, we're gonna have an orgasmic birth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's funny because I recommend that movie to people, but I've still never watched it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's good. Keep your mind clear of that and focus on what you do want when you yeah. want a natural.
Focus on birth. The positive. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So you toured the birth centers. You found out, oh, mm-hmm. no, it's not for us. And then did you find an independent yeah. midwife, or did you find a publicly funded one, or how did you go about yeah. finding your own birth midwife?
Mm-hmm. So when I had decided that we were going to go the route of a private midwife, we had just gotten married, I believe. Like, we weren't even really thinking about having kids yet. So once we were more serious about having kids, not exactly trying, I just started looking at all of the Arizona registered midwives. And I just started calling them up, you know, seeing if they were still taking on clients, if they're still active. And I kind of like shortened my list. As soon as we found out that I was pregnant, I started calling all of the midwives, you know, setting up interviews so that I could meet them in person. And we found our midwife when I was like, I must have been like 2-3 weeks pregnant. It was so, so early. Yeah, it was so early.
That is so
I just
early.
Love being prepared.
I love how prepared you were. Like, that is some sort of record, you know?
Yes.
That's crazy. I mean, I love it. Of course, we have to be aware of the possibility that, you know, it's quite still that high chance of, mm-hmm. you know, babies might yeah. not always last the first trimester. You know, some come and go. Yeah. They're little angels that come and go. And it's a part of, you know, some women's journey.
It's part of
But, you know, of course you can yeah. be prepared, you know?
I was very trusting in the... Yeah. In the pregnancy and in the process. And I, at 5 weeks is when I called her up and said, like, can we start? Well, we selected her at the 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And she said, are you sure you want to have your first appointment? Like, do you want to wait? And I said, no, you know, I want to start yeah. now, because I feel like the sooner you start, the better. And if yeah. that does happen, if, you know, if the pregnancy doesn't unfold, mm-hmm. then like, that's okay too. And we can just, you know, reconnect when it happens again. So I didn't have a problem like starting at early and
you know what, I agree with that. And also it can be actually really supportive to have a midwife that will, if mm-hmm. you do miscarry, that you know,
absolutely.
You have someone who can guide you through that, and you can call them and mm-hmm. you know, get support, and you don't necessarily feel like you want to go into hospital. You know, you don't have to,
yeah,
when, you know, if you do end up losing your baby. And And having that really beautiful support can be amazing. So mm-hmm. I think, yeah. you know, anyone listening, like, yeah, do it. And also, you know, that's what I say about mm-hmm. taking the natural birth course. You know, I recommend everyone starting, you know, as you transition from first trimester to second trimester, like start then, like with your preparation, if not earlier, but like,
yeah,
definitely start then. You know, so many come to me or buy my courses in the third trimester, and that's fine. But, you know, a lot of the stuff we do, you can start very early. It's like rewiring the subconscious mind and working with, you right. know, visualization and practicing the things that you need to practice to really create the pathways in your brain to have those as real good tools, like relaxation, mental focus,
yeah.
breath work. Yeah, like rewiring your subconscious mind takes time. And so
yeah.
I mm-hmm. think, you know, taking your birth preparation courses or doing the prep, you can start that as soon as you get pregnant, but especially I think you should start mm-hmm. already, like as you go through that threshold from 12 weeks, you know, starting your second trimester. Yeah. Anyways, we're going to dive on into your birth story now. So do you want to take us back to, you know, did you have any kind of early signs of labor approaching for you? You know, what week were you in when you maybe went into mm-hmm. early labor, or did you have some sort of like on-off starting business? Yeah, tell us about your journey.
It was great. So I had my first signs of labor was at 38 weeks. So I was huge at that point. And I remember thinking, because of just listening so much from your podcast, knowing that first time moms usually go past their due date. So I was fully expecting, you know, to go past the 40 weeks. And, you know, if I got to 42 weeks, I was perfectly fine with that too. And no, so at 38 weeks, I remember going up to use the restroom at night. It must have been around 10:30. And I got up to use the restroom and I heard like a little bit of a pop. And so it was some of my waters breaking. I could feel it wasn't too much water. It was just kind of like a trickle. So I was super excited when I heard that happened. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to bed. I'm going to tell my husband and I'm just going to go to sleep, because that's what everybody says. Is they say, go to sleep, get your rest. And yeah, so I kind of nudged my husband, let him know, like, my water broke. You're probably going to want to call at work tomorrow, because that was a Thursday night. The next day was Friday. So it's like, you're just going to want to call off for Friday because the baby might come tomorrow. So I didn't text anybody. I didn't text my midwife or my doula. I just went back to bed. And then I started feeling some like light cramping sensations. It wasn't painful at all. And it wasn't as strong as my typical like period cramping. It was like even more mild than that. And I mean, I was 38 weeks pregnant. So I was going to the restroom like 4 times a night at that point. So I got up again around 2 hours later, I would say. And I had a little bit of my mucus plug out. And at that point, I did text my doula because I was just so excited. Like, the signs were happening. So I texted her like, hey, just so you know, I had some signs and, you know, the baby might come this weekend. That's all I told her. And yeah, I went back to bed again. I wanted to save my energy and who knows, the baby could come, you know, within a couple hours or the baby could come in a couple of days. You really don't know. So I went back to bed and again, I woke up to use the restroom. And then at that point I had a bloody show. So I did text my midwife at that point and let her know everything that had been happening. Yeah, she just had to keep her updated.
So you didn't have really contractions at this point though. You could go back to sleep. Like it was just these little signs. You had no contractions.
Very, very mild, like period cramps is what it felt like. Mm-hmm. So I was able to go back to sleep.
Love that. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So once we woke up for the day, it must have been around maybe 7 in the morning. I mean, we were both excited. Like we were just thinking, you know, baby's going to come this weekend. And yeah, he had already texted in his work that he wasn't going to come in. And we just, we said, let's go get some groceries. Let's make sure we have like all the food that we need and in preparation for the birth. So yeah, we went, drove to the grocery store. I don't think I had one like period cramping sensation. So I guess they were surges, right? So I didn't feel anything on the way to the grocery store. And then we were kind of walking in there and I was thinking, oh, like maybe it's going to like stop, you know, maybe it's just going to stop completely. Who knows? And we were walking and I felt another surge. And so I was like, okay, this is good. Like it's continuing. When we got back home, we just did our typical schedule. You know, we had our breakfast together and my husband suggested we go on a couple of walks to see if we can like pick up some of the surges. So we took a walk like down the neighborhood. I think I might have felt just like one surge and they were like hours apart. It wasn't close at all. So we just, you know, went back home. I took a nap and he ran some errands. And yeah, the surges were coming about every hour and they were all, or not every hour, I'm sorry, every couple of hours. And they were very manageable. It wasn't until I would say like 5 p.m. they started to pick up a little bit more. So he kind of got the idea that, yeah, that this is pretty established that the baby is going to come soon. So he started to inflate the pool and he inflated the pool like, yeah, around 5 p.m. And then we went to go grab some dinner. So we just went to go pick it up. And in the car is when I felt like a really powerful surge. And I don't think I didn't let him on to know how powerful they were. I feel like I handled them very well and he didn't really have an idea that they were like really strong at that point.
This episode is sponsored by Informed Pregnancy Plus, a brand new pregnancy, birth and postpartum streaming platform packed with informative and entertaining video content. Among their comprehensive and growing list of movies, you can watch iconic films like Ricky Lake's amazing documentary, The Business of Being Born, and the juicy and empowering documentary, Orgasmic Birth. The mind and body section includes meditations, yoga classes, fitness workouts, and belly dance for birth, all included within the subscription. You find workshops and book reviews and TV-style series on topics from fertility to breastfeeding and everything in between. I highly recommend this streaming platform to all my clients as well as my mentees in my mentorship program because there are brilliant resources in there. And the best news is that you can try Informed Pregnancy Plus absolutely free of charge. Just visit Informed Pregnancy TV and start streaming today.
Yeah. And so he was inside picking up the food and I was in the car, just like very uncomfortable because I'm in the seat of the car and we lived down the street and I was like, I just want to be home. Like, I wish we could just go home, but I have to wait for him to pick the food up. So.
And how often were your contractions coming at this point?
Right. At that point, they were about every maybe 30 minutes, but I don't know if they were that close because we were doing things and I was like moving around. But once we got home, they did kind of spread out again to about every hour.
Okay. So you were still having, mm-hmm. it was very super
very regular.
Early. Yeah. That was spaced out. Yes.
Yes. And they were super irregular because once we got home and we were eating, it must have been around like 7 that we started eating and putting a movie on. Our plan was once the contractions were starting that we would like watch a funny movie and it would be like great. Like we had this vision in our mind of like how our early labor was going to be like. But once we finished our food and the movie was maybe like, I don't know, 10 minutes in, I could feel that I was going deeper into labor. And I said, you know, turn the movie off. I don't, you know, I need quiet. I'm going to go to sleep. I think at that point he understood, okay, she's kind of going into labor. I'm going to fill the pool up. So he was doing that while I was kind of getting ready for bed. Yeah, they were coming a lot stronger at that point. And I was just breathing through them. I think it in that beginning stage, it helped for me to just kind of be in the dark in the bedroom. And then he was in the living room filling up the pool.
It's a little bit early to fill up the pool at that stage when you're just kind of in the early stages. So at this point, were they coming closer then at this point when you went to bed?
At this point, they were still about every, I would say like 45 minutes to an hour.
So that's super early. Yeah.
Yes. But I still felt like I was in labor land. I felt nauseous in between the surges. Between every surge, it was like I was preparing for the next one. Mm. So it felt like they were close together because my mind was just on the next surge and the next surge. I tried to go to bed, but that night is when my labor really established. So I was kind of in and out of bed, you know, going to the restroom, trying to cope through each surge. I would bounce on my ball a little bit and that helped. And then I think around maybe like 2-3 in the morning, it was like there was no position that was comfortable anymore. And I really felt at that point like, okay, there's no going back to bed at this point. Around 3:30 in the morning, I would say, I started feeling even more nauseous. So I ran to the restroom and then I just threw up. And I remember thinking, this is awesome. Like, this is what everybody has like talked about. Cause I know not everybody experiences that, but I've heard, you know, different women on the podcast say that after they throw up, it really picked up for them. So I just remember thinking, this is a good sign, you know, everything is happening the way that it needs to, because I never threw up once during my pregnancy. I never had any kind of morning sickness. So for this to be happening during my labor, I thought like, hey, this is a great sign. Like, this means like your body is ready to have the baby. So after that, I think my husband saw that the labor is more established and he decided to call our doula. And when she came, I remember seeing her feet on the corner, but she came in so quietly, but I saw her feet on the corner of my eye and I was so in labor land. At that point, I was just, you know, coping through each surge. They must have been coming in like every 5 to 10 minutes at that point. Mm. It was maybe like 4 in the morning now. Mm. And she suggested that we go to the pool and see if that will like help relax me a little bit. But I felt like I needed our midwife there. So my husband called her and I didn't want to go in the pool without her support. But once she already brought up the pool, I was like, okay, like, let's do it because maybe that will help. So I got in the pool and I remember it was so warm. I was like, this is almost too warm, but let's do it. And yeah, I coped through some contractions while I was in the pool, and then our midwife came and I felt relief, I feel, because she was a huge support for me and she was like a motherly figure almost. And it's like, you need that to just relax and And it just signified, okay, like your baby is really coming, like this is really happening. So yeah, when she came, she like held my hand, just let me know like I'm doing a good job. And I got the urge to push in the pool.
So the midwife came.
Mm-hmm. It must have been about an hour. But, you know, the time, it feels so close together. But I must have been in the pool for about an hour. It was probably about five in the morning.
Yeah, I love this because, you know, your birth story is not, I mean, all births are very different, right? But I love how your story is very atypical in that you literally had, for all that day, you had like one contraction an hour until like that kind of midnight or a little bit later where you then maybe had every 10 minutes, which is still kind of early. And then literally an hour after your midwife comes, you feel the urge to push. So I'm very curious for the rest of the story because I also love how unique every woman is and every baby and every birth journey, and nothing is the standard normal, you know, Friedman's curve kind of thing. Like it's very rare. Yeah. And I love when women tell these stories that are, you know, very unique.
Yeah. They're also different. And I liked that listening to the podcast and hearing every woman has their own unique journey. And I was able to relate to all of the experiences because my birth had a little bit of everything, if that makes sense. Like nothing that I was experiencing was new because I've heard it through so many women's stories. So when my body started to push without me pushing, I was like, oh, this is what they're talking about. You know, when they say you don't have to push, like your body knows how to push on its own. And so I got that urge to push. And after experiencing that, I remember thinking like, okay, you know, there's no going back from this. You have to push until your baby is out, basically. And what helped me was just kind of telling myself positive affirmations, telling myself, you know, you're not the first person to do this. You know, other women have done this before, and now it's your turn. And you know, I've been preparing for this for many months, even before my pregnancy, and now you're doing it. And, you know, you're not doing this alone. You're doing this with your husband. You're doing this with your doula, with your midwife. And that is what helped me, or else I think my mind would just have kind of given into the fears of, I can't do this. And because out loud, I was saying, I can't do this anymore. You guys, like, I can't do this. This is too hard. This hurts too much. But on the inside, I was telling myself, no, yes, you can do this. And you're doing this. But I think voicing that I couldn't do this and then reassuring me that I could helped me to, you know, make it to the next surge and make it to the next surge. And after being in the pool pushing for a while, my midwife suggested we get out to use the restroom. And I knew that I could pee in the pool, but I also trusted her judgment. So anything that she suggested, I said, okay, yes, like I trust you. Let's get out of the pool. So I went out to use the restroom and the rest of my waters broke. And I was so happy again. I was like, okay, this is another, you know, progress. This is more the next step for me to meet my baby. I remember thinking, you know, it's going to really pick up now. From what I hear, you know, every time the water breaks, like it's going to be another level of intensity. So I was just kind of like mentally preparing myself for that. And I think I might have done just one surge sitting on the toilet, and it was so painful. I don't know if it was the position that I was in, or, you know, this is just labor. This is just that next step. And I tried doing a couple of surges standing up, and that felt a little bit better, you know, but it was still, you know, of course the surges are going to be painful. So then my midwife suggested we go to the bedroom, and I was like, yes, like, I don't think I could be standing anymore. And also I'm just exhausted. Like I need to lay down. And I wanted to just go to sleep. You know, I said, can you guys just give me a blanket so that I can go to sleep? like, no, you can't, you know, you're in labor, like you have to have your baby. So I said, okay, well, let me at least try to do some pushing while I lie on my side. So I tried that, but I felt like there wasn't much progress and it just didn't feel right. So we might have done maybe 3 pushes on my side. And then they suggested I get on my hands and knees and try that. So at that point, those surges, I felt very like I just like needed someone to like do it for me. But obviously that wasn't possible. So I just like held on to my husband and just thinking like, it's okay. Like everybody here is supporting you. You know, you got this, like you have to do this. You're the only one who can birth your baby. And I don't know, I just felt like I had to grab onto, like I needed other people's strength to like help me through it. And she, my midwife was kind of coaching me on how to push with my body's natural urge to push. And so I think when I was on my hands and knees is when I kind of understood what that meant. And I was like pushing more effectively at that point, really opening with each surge that I was getting. But it was just, I felt like it wasn't going to end. Like, when is this going to end? I feel like I've been doing this for hours and I'm exhausted. And, you know, like, am I doing this right? Is kind of how I felt. And then they suggested my doula suggested I try standing up and using our sling ring. I think that's what they're called. And so I got up, you know, I wrapped that around my back and I had my arms up. And somebody mentioned that when you have your arms up and you're pushing, that helps to open you up more. So that's what I had in my mind is like, you know, this is going to help you open up more, you know, just like keep making those low moaning tones and, you know, just keep your jaw relaxed and keep your hands relaxed. And I kept pushing in that standing upright position with like my husband helping me up because I was just so exhausted. I felt like I wanted to lie down. And no, my midwife said, like, you're really opening now. Like, you can see her head. If you want, you can, like, go in and feel. So I was like, okay, like, this is actually working. Yeah, and just didn't believe how it was unfolding. So I went down and I felt, and it just felt like kind of, like, slimy. You know, her head felt slimy. And she reminded me that when the head is crowning, that I'm going to feel, like, a burning sensation, that I'm going to feel the ring of fire. And I remember thinking, yeah, you know, I've heard of that many times. Like many women have described that. And, you know, I could do it. Like if they could do it, I could do it. And she said that I'm going to want to like fight it. And I might want to just like push to kind of get it over with, but don't do that because, you know, you don't want to tear. So just kind of like sit with the pain. So I said, yes, like I can do that because I don't, you know, I really don't want to tear. So I'm going to do what you're telling me to do. And yeah, I remember feeling that stretching feeling and thinking, you know, like this isn't bad at all. Like compared to the pushing surges where I was like on my hands and knees and I felt kind of like desperate. This was like, you're going to meet your baby in the next couple pushes. So I felt like that ring of fire wasn't as bad as like most people explain it. And I was just happy to be at that point because I knew, you know, my baby was going to be born really soon. And it must have been around like 7:30 in the morning at that point. And I felt really good because I could hear the birds chirping outside. The sunlight was coming in through the windows, through the curtains. And I'm such a morning person. So I just felt like, you know, this is awesome. Like I'm about to have my baby right now. And it's like my favorite time of the day. So I was just really excited for that. And after the ring of fire, my midwife said that like she's going to come out on the next push. And I asked her if she could catch the baby. I know I wanted to catch my baby, and that was my plan. But just being so exhausted and like standing in that upright position, I felt like there was no way that I was able to kind of like bend down and grab her without the support of the ring sling, without the support of like me grabbing onto my husband. So I said, you know, go ahead, Debbie, like go ahead and grab my baby and then you can give her to me. So she's like, are you sure? And I said, yes, yes. Like, I'm just happy that like my baby is coming. And so after the ring of fire, I think I had like one more push. Baby was out and I was like, my baby's here. I was so excited. I was like, my baby is born. My baby is born. She passed her down to me. Well, we didn't know that it was a little girl at the time, but she passed her down to me. And I just like sat down, you know, me and my husband were crying. We were just so happy. And then we finally, you know, checked and we saw that we had a little girl. And we just kind of sat there for a while, just like admiring her. And I was like counting her fingers, counting her toes, and was kind of like massaging her. Is it the vernix? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Yeah, just kind of like massaging that into her skin. And then we got up to lie in bed. And I really wanted to establish breastfeeding, because that was like so important to me. And I know how important like that first hour is. So I tried to latch her on and she was just like this tiny little thing, like trying to drink, but she was latching on. So I was really happy about that. And in the back of my mind, I thought about, you know, you're going to have to birth your placenta soon, but I also didn't want to like interrupt this hour with the baby. So I kind of like put it behind my mind, but it was something that was like still there. But I'm very trusting in, you know, the way things unfold. I feel like that's the way it's supposed to happen. So I just remember thinking, you know, your placenta's gonna come and it's gonna be fine. So, you know, just enjoy these moments.
Are you planning on becoming pregnant this year? Maybe you've already been trying for a while, or you're in the planning stages. Then the Conscious Conception Program might be for you. The Conscious Conception Program is for you who want to truly optimize your health and the future health of your baby. And prepare body, mind, heart, and soul to become the best mother you can be for your spirit baby. The program will be given over 12 weeks with bite-sized video lessons teaching you years of fertility and conception knowledge in an easily digestible way without the overwhelm. Each week you'll be introduced to a new easy practice or lifestyle change that you, together with a conscious conception sisterhood, can implement and finally make into your normal daily routine without the struggle of trying to do all the good things all at once and all by yourself. Each week you'll meet with me and the same group of women that will be doing these lifestyle changes and conscious conception preparations together. For 12 weeks, you'll get my undivided attention and expert advice at our live calls as you're introduced to new information and practices to take you closer to conceiving your spirit baby. There's lots that can be done on a physical level in optimizing egg quality and creating a fertile womb soil. But being as this is a conscious conception program, we go so much deeper than that. We dive into the mind, heart, and soul part too, with spiritual practices for fertility and conception, connection with your spirit baby, becoming the mother you want to be for your future child, meditation practices, womb awakening practices, mindfulness practices, and feminine embodiment practices, to name a few. If this program has sparked your curiosity, then head on over to sacredbirthinternational.com or click on the link in the bio to find out more. For this first round, starting on the 2nd of April, I'm offering this program at a heavy discount, only for this first round. So if you're planning to become pregnant this year and really want to optimize your chances, as well as prepare to be the mother you wish to be for your spirit baby, then this is your invitation.
About an hour had passed and my midwife said, like, okay, you know, I do want to try to get the placenta. And so I handed the baby to her dad and I tried to use the restroom and we tried to catch the placenta that way, but nothing was coming. I didn't really feel any surges anymore. So she suggested like squatting and coughing, like pushing on my belly a little bit, and nothing was really working. And she had these like tinctures to try. I tried those and, you know, that wasn't helping. And again, I was just like, I was just being trusting of the process, thinking, you know, like if you have to go to the hospital, okay. But, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen. Like it's the placenta is going to come on its own time. But after about 3 hours, she suggested I go to the hospital. And you know, that was my biggest fear. But I had already birthed my baby. So I said, you know, I already did what I came here to do. You know, I birthed my baby at home. And if my midwife is saying that it's a good idea to go to the hospital to get my placenta out, then like I trust her and I'm going to go ahead and do that. So me and my husband drove to the hospital and our midwife followed us. And on the drive there, I was like very clear-headed because, yeah, I was out of that labor land, you know. And I remember telling him like, hey, we're about to go into the hospital right now and we just had a baby at home and they might not be like very accepting of that. So we need to remind ourselves like kind of like what that hospital culture is like and that they might not be the nicest to us and they might not respect us a lot. And so we need to like just be strong in our decisions and like be on the same page, me and you, because they're probably not going to be on the same page as us. And so we just wanted to go in remembering that so that we don't feel like very pressured to do something that we didn't want to do. So once we got there, I did feel like the doctor was kind of rude to us because I was asking lots of questions and I wanted to know, you know, what's the plan and what kind of medications are you guys going to give me? And like, what's the timeline? When can I leave? And I just wanted to like know what was going to happen or what were the possibilities of what was going to happen. And she said, can I ask you something? She's like, I don't want to be rude, but why did you come here? And I was like, well, I came because I'm having trouble delivering my placenta and I need help. But that doesn't mean that I don't have questions, you know, that I don't want to know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so she answered my questions, but it was hard because, you know, that's not what we wanted. You know, we didn't want that to happen, but we do understand that there is a time and place for that medical intervention. And that was the time and place. It was just like unfortunate that it was that kind of energy going into the hospital.
Yeah.
So, and that's something that, that's something that I remember like being in the hospital bed and just like crying and saying like, it's okay, just accept it because it's not something that you want to carry with you after you leave. You know, you just had a baby and you want to have the best feelings so that you can have like a good postpartum, so that you can have good breastfeeding. So I just needed to like let out a good cry when I was in there. And then after I was like, okay, you know, I'm fine. And let's get this placenta out so that we can go back home, you know? Mm. And, after I got out and they, you know, extracted the placenta, my husband met me as I was coming out. He had brought the baby so that I could like breastfeed her while I was there. So that was great. And, that night, we were, the three of us were able to go back home. And yeah, we were just like so happy to just to be home together, you know, to be back in the environment where we birthed her. And yeah, it was great to have the support from our doula, from our midwife during that time. And like, I'm really thankful that we took classes and we kind of educated ourselves so that we could go into that hospital environment and like feel empowered in the decisions that we were making. And yeah, so I'm really happy that I had that support team.
Beautiful. Yeah, when it comes to the placenta, you know, some women don't have a lot of afterbirth pains. You know, when you have had your baby, we want the womb to continue to contract so that you birth your placenta, right? And there is this kind of guideline, right, in hospital that you should birth your placenta before 1 hour as potentially the cervix starts closing. You know, we don't know exactly when. And of course, all women are different. Some women will birth their placentas hours after their baby's born and it's no problem. And for some, you know, it does not want to come out. And there's so many different layers to why that is, right? Physical, but maybe also sometimes emotional, spiritual, mental, depending on the environment, depending on if, you know, so there's so many things, you know, people forget, and for anyone listening, you know, forget that that third stage is still part of that birthing process, right? And to encourage, like you did, you were breastfeeding, but still your afterbirth pains weren't really coming on. And I heard, you know, your midwife gave you 3 hours, which is beautiful. You know, there wasn't that kind of half an hour in going, you know, oh, you need to get the placenta out. And it didn't sound like you were symptomatic. You weren't bleeding. There was no emergency there. It was just, didn't want to come. And so you made that decision with your midwife to move into the hospital. Now, as we know, you know, unfortunately, that attitude to home birthing moms is really widespread. And I love how empowered you were in that conversation and that you could say that back to the doctor, which was so right to say. It is terrible that you had to. And unfortunately, you just have to, like you said to your husband, you have to like armor yourself when you go in. That
yes,
most likely you'll have that experience. If you don't, that's amazing, great. And there's some beautiful doctors and midwives in the system too. But unfortunately, a lot of them are not. And they'll approach you in that very unkind manner. But you were so, so empowered in your conversation with her going like, yes, you know, I'm here because I need your help. Because that's also part of birth, you know. We can aim to have a natural physiological birth, but sometimes we're going to need medical help. And that's just, that's okay. That's a part of, you know, some of our journeys. And there's wisdom in that too. Your wisdom maybe was that to stand in front of this really rude obstetrician and going like, hey, you don't speak to me like that. Like, I'm a sovereign woman. I have questions. I'm going to have questions whether or not you want it or not. That's a part of your job to be respectful towards me. Like, that's patient law. I could sue you your ass.
Right.
I mean, I wish that people start saying that to these obstetricians because they are so rude sometimes. Going like, you know what? Do you know about patient law? Do you know about informed consent? Me asking questions is a part of that. And it's a part of your job description. Anyways, I'm going on a tangent, but I love that you had that. And I'm sorry you experienced that, but maybe that also gave you even a deeper sense of knowing that you could stand up truly for yourself in that very vulnerable, very vulnerable state you were in. But you had the mama lioness in you going ruff back, and you went back home and had your beautiful postpartum afterwards after having the help you needed.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thankful that, you know, we were able to get the placenta out and everything was fine. Although, you know, I had to be in a hospital. You know, I was okay with that too, because I have to accept it so that there's no shame around that. You know, I know some women, there's like shame around maybe taking, you know, getting the epidural or getting a C-section or whatever the case is. And some of the times it truly is necessary. And for me, you know, I didn't want it to be a part of my story, but again, I'm I do believe that everything like happens for a reason, and you know, it was necessary. So I just felt like very empowered, and me and my husband talked it over and said, you know, is this really what we're going to do? And, you know, we asked all the questions that we needed. And so we felt very like empowered in our decision. So when we got home, we could kind of just like forget about it. It's like we already dealt with it and like processed it emotionally, and we could just like move on from that and fully focus on our postpartum now. Because he was able to stay for 3 weeks, and like we needed that to like stay in our bubble, not have visitors. And yeah, it was just me and him, like getting to know our baby.
That's beautiful. And how precious. I wish every woman had that support for at least the first few weeks, if not longer. And for the dads too, or the partners, like it's an important time in their life as well to be present with mm-hmm. their new baby. And our society doesn't seem to really understand that as well.
Yeah, that was really important for us, was for him to be there and to support me so that I can support the baby. And we were very like vocal with our family to just like respect our time for the first at least 3 weeks that he was going to be off, is just kind of respect our time, and we will let you know when we're ready for visitors. And even then, like, we're probably only going to be comfortable with like their grandma and grandpa coming, you know, with our parents coming to support us. And then, you know, later, because we have a big family, you know, later we'll bring in more people. It's just so important to like keep those stress levels down and like stay in that love bubble for as long as possible. I feel like that is, it's how you establish a good postpartum and how you establish a good breastfeeding. And that was like so important for us.
I love that. I love hearing this, because still there's so many first-time mamas, especially, who don't understand this. And I love that you did, and that you planned for it, and that you had strong boundaries, and that you and your partner, your husband, could have this really precious time to heal and bond and really be together in your bubble. And yeah. I love that you know, because you said before we started recording, like, even though you planned for a home birth, you also mm-hmm. were prepared in case of transfer. You were, you know, you were kind of prepared for in case of having to go to the hospital for some reason. And I think that that's really mm-hmm. wise, you know. I think, you know, plan for your dream birth and focus on that, but have a plan B that's just there. And so that right. in case you need help, right? And there is no shame in that. You know, this podcast is all about featuring all the natural, empowering birth experiences, because, you know, we need those stories out there, as there are so many other stories floating around, right? We need this yeah. kind of beautiful, nourishing platform. But that doesn't mean that sometimes we are going to need medical help. It's a part of, you know, some births and some babies' journeys as well. Some mama's journeys, some baby's journeys. And there's no shame in that. There's no failure in that. When we truly need it, you know, amazing that it's there for us, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we can still have empowering births. And I really want to mention that, because a natural birth doesn't equate an empowering birth. And, mm-hmm. you know, a cesarean and a medicalized birth, an induction, can also be an empowering birth. And the way that women most of the time feel like they had an empowering birth is that they had a voice, that they felt strong in the decision making, mm-hmm. and that they were listened to and respected. Mm-hmm. And you made sure that that happened to you when things mm-hmm. deviated from the normal, that didn't, you know, unfold the way you wanted. You were very empowered in your decision making all the way through. You made those decisions. And that, I think, really helps feeling still super empowered in your birth experience, whatever kind of outcome you have.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we felt so confident after that experience, is because we were the ones making the decisions. You know, we listened to like what the doctor had to say. But at the end of the day, you know, we have the option to accept or decline anything that happens to us. So,
And that is a piece of information that everyone needs to deeply integrate into their psyche, right? Mm-hmm. To like, whatever you face, like, it is your decisions. In the home, in the birth center, in the hospital, you know, you are the one that makes the decisions.
Yes.
Always. Thank you, Denise. Yeah. So if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I would first tell her to just kind of like sit with your fears and explore your fears, even if, you know, it's unrelated to birth, just your fears in general and like addressing them and figuring out where they stem from is going to help you become a more confident person. It's going to help you be more at peace with yourself. And then when you have that peace, you're able to be more connected with your intuition, to be more connected with your gut feelings and like trust yourself. And that is so necessary for, you know, the journey of pregnancy, for the journey of birth, because like you said, you're the one who makes the decisions. So when you trust yourself, you can trust your judgment fully. You know, you're not constantly in doubt and you're not constantly seeking for like validation from maybe your OB, your midwife, society, right? Or like your parents, whoever, because having like, if you want to have a home birth or you want to have a type of birth that is not as common right now, you're going to get a lot of like different opinions and a lot of advice. But if you're strong, if you stand strong and like what you believe, then like that's what's going to benefit you. That's what's going to benefit your baby. And that's how you're going to have the best experience. So I would say to just explore your fears and then also just educate yourself on, you know, what it is you're getting into. If you do want to have a hospital birth, explore like what kind of culture that is so that you understand like what are the possibilities if you take that route, and then do the same for home birth, you know, so that the more knowledge that you know that you have, you're able to make again better decisions. Mm-hmm. And yes, so just say be the driver in your pregnancy and don't give the wheel to somebody else, you know, like, because this is your journey. This is your pregnancy and your experience. And so, yeah, just like, don't give up your decision-making to somebody else. And, lastly, I would say to just honor that postpartum period because it's so important and it really sets you up for like the type of motherhood that you're going to have and like the type of breastfeeding journey that you're going to have. So the more you prepare for that, I think the better you're going to be. Like, prepare for your postpartum just as much as you prepare for your birth, you know, just as much as you prepare for the baby showers and for the baby room and all of that. Like, prepare for your postpartum as well, because you need to be in a good mental space so that you can like be the best mom that you can be.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Denise, for coming on the Natural Birth Podcast. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And, you know, I was glad talking to you finally. And thank you, Anna, for all that you do. That the podcast helped me like have the birth that I wanted. So thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it, leave a review, or make a contribution on our Patreon page. And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.